everybody. Just again, hello, welcome to Church Done Very, Very Differently. Wow, what a week. I mean, I just feel like every day is like a year almost. Just thinking a week ago, even 10 days ago, and just how much has changed. And so in the midst of all of the change, what I want to say to you is us as a church, I mean, we're trying to catch up to everything. We're trying to figure this all out. But here's our commitment is that Saturday at 6:30, Sunday 9 and 11, we will have something for you. I guarantee it. Rock bottom. Let me just sketch out rock bottom for you just very quickly. Rock bottom for our weekend gatherings would be me at my house with my computer. I know how to play guitar from years back, and we can sing together. It'd be really, really painful, but I'd be willing to bring out, you know, some old jars of clay tunes from like the mid 90s, some old school like mid 90s worship songs. If it comes to that, that is my commitment to you. That is how committed we are to putting something on for you on weekends. But we're doing everything we can just to continue to meet together, open the scriptures together. This is more important than ever. What I would say is, in the midst of so much change, in the midst of so much stuff, have this as a rock in your week, that you would come as a family, you would gather as a family, and 6:30 Sundays or 9/11 or Saturdays or 9/11 on Sunday mornings, you would come and engage with us. It would be super important. Last weekend, we pressed pause on our Exodus series because of this, and we did a new sermon series called Disruptive Witness. And really, what we're trying to explore and investigate is, what difference does Jesus make in your life right now? We talked about this, about following the way of Jesus with the scripture, with his word, through the practices, through all these different things. And so what we want to do is we just want to dive deep. We want to think deeply about what it means to follow Jesus right now. And so, disruptive witness, what difference does Jesus make? And he does make a difference. And so we're going to be challenged. We're going to be reminded. We're going to be encouraged about our commitment to King Jesus. Yes, even in this moment. And so, the questions that we're all asking ourselves, the questions that we're thinking through right now, are the big questions. And they may not be like forefront of your mind, but we are all asking them. So what I wanted to do this weekend is just to come at you, remind you about who you are, whose you are, and the most important things about our faith. And so the questions we're going to be exploring and answering, hopefully this weekend, is, what is my purpose? Man, with all of the change and all of the job loss, what do I do? What's my purpose? The second is, where do I find ultimate satisfaction? Where do I belong in this rapidly changing environment? And then third, what's my future? Man, if you could prognosticate what the future is going to be in the next like week, you would be onto something. And so we're just going to bring out the scriptures together and talk about those big things. See, I believe that who we are in crisis gets challenged and clarified. Who we are in crisis gets challenged and clarified. And so we need to firmly place ourselves in the scriptures and allow Jesus to answer those questions for us. And so what we're going to do, just right off the bat, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and explore this idea of, what is my purpose right now? What do I do? So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says this: "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." See, what Peter's just done is he's just gone all the way back to Exodus 19. And taken the commission that God gives to Israel in Exodus 19, which is right before the Ten Commandments. And so what he does is he just brings it and puts it on the New Testament people of God, you and I, the church, to say, here's what you are to do. And so he brings great, great insight. Chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession. I just want to zoom in. What am I to do right now? Here's what Jesus is saying to us. We are a royal priesthood. royal priesthood. That's what it means now to follow Jesus. And so when I bring that up, you're like, oh, wait a second. Like, all I think of when I think of priest is maybe the church that you grew up in, maybe Easter, Christmas, somebody in a long robe or a dress that looked like white collar. And you're like, ah, that's not who I am. I'm an accountant or I'm a stay-at-home mom, whatever that is. So this idea that you are a priest is kind of strange. And so what I want to do is just kind of unpack what did it mean to be a priest in the Old Testament, because that's where it came from in Exodus 19. Here's the two functions of a priest. The first thing a priest did was they were responsible to bless the people of God. They were to remind Israel that God is for them, that God loves them, that God has a plan, that he will be faithful. So there's a great priestly blessing in Numbers chapter 6. And it just talks about, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. And this was a function of the priest. That's first, was to bless the people, remind them of who God is and his favor. The second thing was that as a priest in the Old Testament, you acted as the middleman between people and God. And what you were to do was you were to grab the hand of the people and grab the hand of God metaphorically and bring them together. You acted as this kind of go-between, this mediator between God and man. Bring people to God and bring God to people. What are you to do right now? Here's what God is asking us and reminding us, that we are a royal priesthood. Our function in the world right now is to act as this, to bless and remind people of who God is, about his favor, about his goodness, and to be the mediator, to bring people to God. And so this is an opportunity for us as a church to lean in harder and more intentional than ever before into the mission of God. What am I to do right now? You are to make Jesus known. And I get it. I get the fear of job loss. Maybe some of you have lost your job. I get the fear of the uncertainty of this moment. But here's the reality. The reality is that people are looking for something right now. We talked about last week, in times of crisis, the places that you have found refuge are exposed for what they actually are. And that's true of the world right now. So for you to take up this priestly calling and to be intentional about connecting people to God is your opportunity. I believe this could be the seed of renewal for our city if we were as a church to lean in, to phone people, to care. And I understand that social distancing and I can't be around people, but you can pick up the phone. Absolutely pick up the phone, remind people, be available, share the content that our church is providing on social media. Do you know why? Because people are desperate right now for something, for God. That's what they're looking for. This is what you are to do right now. And the purpose of this, it's brilliant at the end, that you will declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, that we are people full, overflowing with gratitude because of what Jesus has done for us, that we know God. We were walking in darkness, but because of the cross, we've come to know God through Jesus, and we declare his praises. And so I get it. We're all together in the same house. You don't have the escape of work. And so maybe what this means for your family in this crazy time is to be priestly to each other, to not tear each other's throats out, to bless each other in Jesus' name, to connect with God. Folks, this is an opportunity. What am I to do? What's my purpose? Your purpose hasn't changed. If you're a follower of Jesus, it hasn't changed. It's to be a royal priesthood. That's my first idea. The second idea is, where do I find ultimate satisfaction? Where do I belong? So to do that, I just want to show you in Hebrews chapter 11, If you go to Toronto, you can go to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and there you will see all of the monumental people that have shaped hockey. And so this is an amazing Hall of Fame. Well, the Bible has something like that for some of you who are new to this whole church Bible thing. And that's in Hebrews chapter 11. You walk through this amazing set of people that have gone before us. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is a confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And that sentence sets up the whole chapter. These are the people who have believed with all of themselves that God is who he says he is, that he will provide what he said he will provide, and they have embarked on a pilgrimage toward God their whole life. That they have abandoned other stories that they could invest themselves in and instead have said, "I am going to be one who follows God." And this is faith. Faith is the idea of a trust transfer from me and my abilities into God and who he is and who he's promised himself to be. And so the rest of the chapter is just basically showing people that have done this imperfectly, but have done this. So Abraham is one of these people, and Abraham is somebody that God said, "Look, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you a land, and you're going to be a blessing to the world." And Abraham's like, there's no way that is going to happen. So Abraham follows God his whole life, this assurance of things yet not seen, that Abraham believed in God and it was credited to him as righteousness, that God saw Abraham's faith, his trust, his unshaking trust in who he is, and this is what happened. So it picks up in verse 13 in Hebrews 11. It says, "All these people were still living in faith when they died. So they didn't get," it says, "they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance." And so a guy like Abraham, look, land, people, blessings. This is the promise of God. And Abraham steps out in faith, trusts God for these promises, but never inherits the land. There is a sense of this story was incomplete. Here's what it says, how Hebrews describes these people. It says, "admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth." Where do I belong? Where do I find ultimate satisfaction? These people had radical faith that they didn't get there, but what they did see themselves as was foreigners and strangers on earth. There is a sense as somebody who follows Jesus that I don't belong here. That I stick out. Why? Because my hope is found in God. That there are other stories that I could place myself in, but they are going to and are showing themselves to be false stories. Instead, we are reminded, where do I belong? Ultimately, I will only be satisfied in God, in a life of faith, in a life of trust. And so maybe you're tuning in and you're not a church person at all. And you're realizing, oh man, the places where I have put my trust are not coming through. This is the invitation for you right now. I am praying, I've been praying that there be many in Kamloops, many in our world that said, "I became a faith-based person, a trust transfer from myself to the things of Jesus, from the coronavirus, from this time." And this is where we belong. I'm a stranger and I'm an alien. And in verse 16, it says, talking about these people, "instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one." Folks, let me just be clear. Where are you going to find ultimate satisfaction? It's not now in trips to Vegas. It's not now in your investment portfolio, although I hope that's going to be okay. Where do I belong? Not here. Not this, not this stuff, not the material things. Ultimately, you were created for eternity and your heart will be restless until it finds its rest in God. And many people have gone before. Many people have gone before us. And this is our opportunity to be faithful to the pilgrimage unto the things of God. Where do I belong? Not here. Where do I find ultimate satisfaction? In Jesus Christ. You need to commit to that now more than ever before. So the questions What's my purpose? Royal priesthood. Where do I belong? Where do I find ultimate satisfaction? In God. And then finally, what's the future? Friends, your future, if you belong to Jesus, is full of hope. And let me tell you, it is certain. It is certain. It's not wishful thinking. The definition of faith, actually, in Hebrews, is this idea of assurance. It's not like, cross my fingers and hope for the best. The assurance of faith, this life of faith, this pilgrimage unto the things of God, assurance is like a title to a land. It's a deed. You own it. And so to do that, what I want to do is just remind ourselves of just such a beautiful truth of, from Romans chapter 8. If you're looking for places to camp in your own practices and just thinking about God, man, Romans 8 is a place to be. In Romans 8, 17, it says this. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. So what is this? What is this? What's my future? It's certain and it's hopeful because, number one, the text says you are your children. And this is all what's preceded in Romans chapter 8. That the way that the metaphor that the New Testament gives us about what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that you are a child. You are adopted in, not because of anything that you've done, but because we have a good father who is trustworthy, that has sent his son Jesus so that we could be welcomed into the family of God. And as a child, it goes on. It says, if we are children, then we are heirs. Being an heir is getting something that you didn't do anything to get because of an affiliation to somebody else. So we all know those people, even in our culture, that have been born into a family with a big last name, right? Whether it's an entrepreneur or somebody in Hollywood, you think of the royal family, right? What did they do to get into that family? Zero. But because of their involvement with that family, they get everything. They get everything, not because they're great, but because of who they know. And it's true with us. What is my future? My future is that I am a co-heir with Christ. Because of what Jesus has purchased for me on the cross, I am given the Spirit of God as a down payment that will certify what is to come. And so we get little moments of our inheritance now when things become clear and God is sweet and the Bible's alive and you feel that closeness with Jesus. That is a glimpse into what is to come in the future. That this idea that I am a co-heir solidifies my inheritance that will one day be mine. And so let me just be clear that today, because of your affiliation with Jesus, it is full of hope. He has promised himself to you to give you the peace you're looking for, to give you the firm foundation of your life that you can stand upon with certainty right now. That is all available today. But friends, let me just tell you, because we are co-heirs with Christ and because of what has happened on the cross, my future is not dependent on how quickly a vaccine can be made. My future is not dependent upon who gets the virus around me. My future is dependent on a historical act where Jesus physically rose from the grave, forgiving my sin in my past, giving me his Spirit today, and ensuring my future forever. My future as somebody who follows Jesus is certain, and it is so full of hope. But friends, the verse continues. It says, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So for those of us who have followed Jesus and it's been rosy and it's been awesome, friends, we have forgotten that to follow Jesus means also to share in his sufferings. And it is our opportunity right now as the church, especially Kamloops Alliance Church, to live congruently with this. That we may be called to suffer in whatever way. I don't know what that looks like. But to think that we get to follow Jesus and all have roses and everything's good, it's meadows and lilies, it's not biblical. But the promise is as we as we enter into some of these sufferings, that we experience more of Jesus. He has promised to meet us in those moments. And he didn't get resurrection without a cross, and we don't get glory, our future hope, without suffering today. And so this is the invitation, I believe, of us to enter into this moment. Yes, with hope and with certainty, but also saying, Jesus, if it takes whatever, I will still follow you. I am all in. So, purpose. What do I do to make Jesus known? To make Jesus known. Where do I belong? Where do I find ultimate satisfaction? It's in a life of faith. It's in a trust transfer from me to the things of God. That we're strangers and aliens, and ultimately my only satisfaction is found in God. And finally, what's my future? What's my future, friends, if you follow Jesus? If you follow Jesus, it is certain, and it is so full of hope. You see, crisis clarifies these questions. May you and I be people who firmly stand and closely follow Jesus Christ now more than ever. And so perhaps you're tuning in. This was shared, and you don't know what this all means. You're new to this whole thing. My ask of you is to be courageous. My ask of you is to invest, to think clearly, to ask questions, and to investigate this life of faith that I believe all of these circumstances is welcoming you into, to explore, to figure out. If we can help you as a church, please, please reach out. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment, even though it is so difficult. Lord, I pray that you would speak peace and calm into the storm that we're facing. Lord, for those of us here that have gone through real stuff, like we lost our job or we don't know if it's going to be there next week. For those of us who know people who are suffering in hospital, for those of us who are obsessed with Twitter or information and we just feel our mental health is just so low and we're actually scared. For those of us who are sick of self-isolating, who need community, Lord, we need you, God. Lord Jesus, we need you. We need you now more than ever. And so, Lord, we give up those false places of refuge that we have gone to. And Lord, we courageously make that journey of faith out to you. Lord, we pray for, even locally here, our local officials, our healthcare workers, our frontline people. Lord, the people that have been checking me out of my grocery store for months and months and months, I have a way higher appreciation for them. Lord, we pray a blessing and a protection on all these people in this crisis. And Lord, I know that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. You have promised that. So I pray for the mission of Countless Alliance Church in this moment, that it will not faint, that it will not dry up. Lord, I pray that we would be a church on mission in the midst of this, a royal priesthood, Lord. I pray that we'd be people that are firmly founded in this identity that I'm a stranger and I'm a foreigner, that this does not feel like home, nor should it. And Lord, that my hope, my future, because I'm a co-heir with Christ, he has brought me into his family as a child, Lord, that my future is so full of hope and it is certain. May we cling to you, King Jesus. Oh, Lord, and give us wisdom. And Lord, may we say yes to anything that comes. The future, Lord, we say yes, knowing that you will journey with us. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, I pray, because I don't have authority in my own to pray it. I say, amen. Bless you. Let me just remind you of this amazing truth. As Paul just thinks about what does it mean to be a child and a co-heir, at the end of Romans 8 and verse 31, he says, what shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give him all things? May you experience the power and the presence of Jesus in this time of crisis. Don't forget who you are, whose you are, and what he has called you to do. Bless you, and we'll see you back next week.